from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Got news on.
Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. It's a happy hour for Andy. I forgot to ask in the 11 o'clock hour. Slipped my mind. A lot going on. If you're out there drinking something, send us a picture of it. We'll give you a shout-out on the radio.
Extreme detailing.
He's back.
Yeah, my boy's back, man.
Extreme detail. Chilling, man. He's back, and he's got...
I don't know what that is.
Quality house vodka.
My dude, don't hurt nobody.
You know something's good when they have to remind you in the title that it's quality.
Yeah, don't hurt nobody.
That's how you know it's good.
Don't hurt nobody up there, man.
He's safe if he drops it because it's not a glass bottle.
Yeah, that plastic bottle, but that plastic bottle vodka or gin.
Yeah.
Get you, ooh, Lord have mercy, boy.
It'll work, but yeah. The next day is going to... You're going to feel it. You're going to earn it.
Yeah.
You're going to have earned that one.
Has she text you back what y'all doing?
Yep. It was a long text. I just said, awesome. I don't know. It was a lot of details.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what's going on.
Because we're going to Nashville.
We're driving north. I don't know where we're stopping.
We're going to Nashville, and so we're going to a Boys II Men concert tonight.
That's awesome.
But,
God, that's
okay,
great.
Hold on. Because this is my thing. All right? Because she's like, they got it. I was like, fine. And this one between Charlotte or Nashville. I said, fine, we'll go to Nashville. To go see the concert.
Good choice.
And then my favorite cousin, who's like my brother Mario, his family lives there, so we all gonna hang out, going to the Gaylord Resort and everything with a water park. I hate water parks, so I said, y'all had that. I'm gonna be on Broadway getting toe up tomorrow. Y'all got a damn water park. I'm gonna be on Broadway getting faced, all right, with all the other bridesmaids. You know, that's what I'm gonna be doing.
There's gonna be a bunch of bachelorette parties and Randy.
Yeah, getting faced. That's me. That's what I'm gonna be doing. But so I was like, okay, going to see Boys and Men. Robin Thicke is the opening act.
All right.
Okay. So I'm saying,
get a moment.
Yeah, get a moment. But yeah. I'm like, okay, so there's certain songs, because the deep voice brother ain't there.
Yeah, right. Right.
There's certain songs I need his part. Like, is there gonna be a substitute?
Baby.
I'm here for you.
I know I hurt you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, or are they just going to play the recording of it?
I don't know. You that's know, a great question.
I'm so curious.
Because those are like, that's multiple
I'm
very popular
so
songs.
I'm curious about when the
what is his name again?
What's Michael.
Mike McCrary or something like that. Yeah, that's like the big
so
part
curious,
of some of their most
like,
famous
when he
songs.
He comes in, like, how does that, because you can't erase that part on In the Road, baby.
Yeah.
I'm here for you. You can't just overlook like that.
All those nights I knew you were cheating on
yes,
me, but
baby,
I didn't care.
Baby, I knew about it, but I
it's
didn't care.
It's one of the saddest monologues in music history.
You just don't know how much it. I'm here for you.
Yeah, wait a minute.
What
cheated
the hell?
On you,
she cheated
dude.
On you. Multiple times.
Multiple times. And you wrote this song? You don't need her.
You don't end of the road my ass. It'll be end of your life. Multiple times.
Or his.
You know what I'm saying? Multiple times. Maybe I do it about it.
All those nights. All those nights.
All those nights.
How many nights were there?
She can't leave the house no more.
No, exactly. Hey. Or can't come back ever again.
I'm coming with
you. You have to make a choice.
I'm coming with you.
Yeah, no, I know. But that's a great question. So at the end, they do end of the road.
Yes.
You can't skip end of the road at a Boyz II Men reunion concert.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a great question. I don't know what they do. Do they get some other deep voice guy to come up and fake it?
They might.
Like, other bands do that. That's like, true. If a great guitar player dies, you just get another good guitar player.
Yeah.
You know?
So interesting.
I don't know. I can't wait to see. Here's what, if you can, because I bet you guys have good seats, right?
It's in a park.
Okay. So it's kind of general.
Yeah, but you got to buy chairs.
Slip them the Harry and Lean demo.
Dude.
You know?
You know I got you.
Maybe we go on tour opening for
them. We might have some backstage passes. Don't be surprised you see me taking a picture with them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you do. Yeah, it's like, oh, it was cheap. It was a cheap ticket. It's a general admission. Yeah. Meanwhile, it wasn't. You guys have the best seats, and you get a pre-concert meet and greet.
Yeah, you better not touch my woman like Chris Brown. Come on, you better keep his hands to himself.
What do they do on the Mariah Carey song? Because they got to do that one, right? One Sweet Day?
Yeah.
It's a very famous song. Mariah's not going to be there.
Mariah's not going to be there. So, yeah, just curious how that's going to be, man. But, yeah, I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to do my best to have a good time. Like, I always do my best.
Oh, you're going to have fun. You're going to have fun. I would love to see Boyz II Men in concert. That'd be a lot of fun. All right. A lot coming up this hour. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll get back into some more Falcons-specific conversation in about 15 minutes as the Falcons have an open practice tonight, public practice, that is, over at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. $5 to get in. Just $5. And all proceeds go to Emory Healthcare. So if you're looking to catch a practice, because I know training camp is not open, this is your last chance because they had the one last weekend, and then tonight's the final one. So if you want to go over there and see them, tonight's the night to do it. And then we'll get to an Olympic update / Sports Jeopardy coming up at 12:40 as well.
The Trojans back tonight too, baby. Let's go, Pete County.
Oh.
Yeah, put the beat down on Warner Robins
tonight.
Thought
you were talking about safe sex.
Let go, Pete County.
There you go. First game of the year.
Yeah, scrimmage.
Oh, it's a scrimmage.
But it don't matter because it's Warner Robins.
God, you know you love your team when you're hyped up about a scrimmage.
Because it's Warner Robins.
Good for you.
Warner Robins. They be ducking us. Ducking them Trojans.
Is that true?
Hell yeah, it's always been true. I don't know everybody know about Warner Robins said they ain't never ducked Pete County.
No one's ever said anything to me about this topic in any direction.
No, we just play Northside all the time. But Warner Robins, it's the Dodgers.
Huh.
They did.
We don't need that.
We don't need no Dodgers. No fair Dodgers.
You're ducking your right. Exactly, yeah, right.
No
all
fair
right,
Dodgers.
Let's get to an NFL no huddle.
There you go, Pete County.
NFL no huddle every single day to kick off the noon hour. Let's start. Actually, with Jimmy Lake, the defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons, talking about guys learning their roles.
It's just all about building this thing where the guys understand it, but we can rotate a bunch of personnel groupings, different people on offense may see somebody as a known rusher they think is going to rush, and then all of a sudden that guy's going to drop. They might think there's a guy that's probably going to draw back in coverage, and then he's going to rush. And the more we can do that, looks very, very complex to our opponent, but the way we install it and the way our coaching staff installs, we can keep it very simple for us, but hopefully cause a lot of headaches for
our
opponent.
Damn sure don't sound like a Jimmy to me.
What? James?
Yeah, James Lake. James Lake, right? Jimmy. Yeah,
that was mild Jimmy because we heard he can get spicy when it has to happen. Yeah. He can get spicy.
He gets spicy. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on Jimmy. Let's call it what it is.
Sure,
you know he doesn't have an established pass rusher. Doesn't really have a whatever. I'm not gonna say Mike Hughes is a bad corner because I don't know. But
he's got unproven secondary beyond AJ and Bates.
Yes, you got a problem at the strong safety position unless Helms can unseat Richie.
Yeah, and from what we heard yesterday from Smoke and Joe, Richie's been out there with the ones the whole time.
Yeah, so he has that and everything. And this is a combined scheme of him and Ra and other places that he's been. I know I saw that I think D-Led was saying that Wilkie was out there. Steve Wilkes was out there. And you know, Steve Wilkes, he's a very aggressive defensive coordinator. So maybe they racking brains and like trying to put some stuff in that he would call and stuff like that. But, yeah, they got a lot of pressure on him when he's talking about the D.C. for this team because there's going to be a lot of pressure on you because your offense is going to score.
Yeah.
Your offense is going to score. And all you got to do is not blow it.
Right. That's hard. When the ask is just be average.
Yes.
You better be.
Yes.
Right? Because it on paper, the offense has everything you could want, and hopefully everybody stays healthy and all that kind of stuff. But, like, you're right. Like, they're not saying we need you to go out here and be incredible.
Yeah.
It's not, and you're also, you don't have the track record of like a Dean Pease or something like that. So it's not built in with a little extra pressure like that. It was just, all right, we don't really know much about you. Obviously, Raheem does right. and vouches for you, of course, and you have this job. And you also have pretty significant holes on this defense the way it looks right now. Maybe they don't. Maybe some of these guys are going to take that step, and it's like, oh, actually, this pass rush is good. But as it stands right now, it looks like that's a weakness.
Right.
It looks like the secondary, at least the second and third corner spot, might be a weakness of this defense. And then it's frustrating because those two things can help each other out if one of them's good, but neither of them are, seemingly. At least as we know right now, as it stands on paper. It feels like the interior of the defensive line is going to be really good.
Yeah, I mean, Grady and David.
Grady and Onyemata back.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Everybody's talking about how good Aroro looks and Dorless. And even, honestly, Taequann Graham. I've heard a lot of people saying his name the first week and a half
I mean, you got players in there, but it's like all about, you know, the kind of the rotation. How, because Grady plays so many damn snaps in the interior of the defensive line. They got to find a way to get Grady and have him fresh for the stretch run.
Yeah, and I think Zach Harrison moving inside probably helps with that.
That's going to be a good move.
Taequann Graham being a part of it. Eddie Goldman, I read, was out there with the ones a couple times. I mean, as long as he doesn't retire.
I mean, how about to say?
Maybe,
I mean,
Eddie Goldman could be a part of it.
This is his third tour with him?
He hasn't played a game, but yeah, this is the third. This is the third time he's been a Falcon and retired twice. Hopefully he gets out there and makes a difference. I don't know.
Let's hope so.
And then you got young guys too. Zion Logue, Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah, man.
Hopefully make the squad. Maybe make a difference on the interior. Anyway, we'll get back into some different Falcons conversations. Who could potentially be an all-pro in about 10 minutes from right now? Before we do that, now I don't know who Amani Toomer works for, but I know who he is. Everybody's familiar with his work. Smart football man.
Yes.
Talking here about Caleb Williams earning the respect of his teammates.
He's Russell Wilson 2.0.
Uh-oh.
This is not going to go over well.
Uh-oh.
What?
If you came in the locker room,
okay,
I've been in this locker room for 8 years, like you said, and you know, some rookie's going to come in who hasn't played one snap.
Right.
Talking, you know, we're wearing the fingernail polish. You know, now he's going to come in here and tell me, who've been here, who've been through the struggle, that I need to clean up? No, how about, rookie, how about you clean up after me?
Oh, right.
How about
okay.
that? Don't
okay.
give me this crap. I don't like it at all.
Oh.
I feel like rookies should earn their respect.
Sure.
Just because you got drafted number one doesn't mean nothing to me, because I don't even know if you're good.
Okay, I see what he's saying. Okay. All right. Now, I guess they had like, a, you know, at the end of practice, they had the scrum of players and everything. And Caleb basically said to his teammate, hey, guys, how about we clean up behind yourself? All these water bottles and wet towels and toilets not being flushed. How about we clean up behind each other? Yeah. What's wrong with that? Shut up, Amari. I take back everything I said. Now, he does have points about rookies and all those other things.
Right.
What the fingernails got to do anything?
Nothing.
All right, what the fingernails got to do anything?
Nothing to me.
Yes.
But some people really care about his fingernails.
Dude, I've said this before, and I'll always remember one team meeting, and James McKnight, a veteran receiver down there with us in Miami, said the same exact thing. Man, y'all pick up behind your damn self.
Hey, guys, come on.
Flush the damn toilet. Your nest, you can dock that in a toilet stool, man. You know, just grown-ass men, just wet-ass towels everywhere. Nobody wants your damn wet towel that you don't wash yourself with. Just laying on the floor.
Yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, pretty reasonable. Clean up.
Yeah, pretty reasonable.
Yeah, but that whole fingernail and all that crap, whatever.
No, I know. There's a lot of, like, people waiting to pounce on dumb stuff as it relates to Caleb Williams if he doesn't play well.
Yeah.
It's like, see, it's because of this.
Yeah.
No, it's just really hard to be a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is going to be if he plays great, like, then what?
The problem is,
then you cared about that and it was dumb.
The problem is, if he don't play like C.J. Stroud, everybody thinks C.J. Stroud, every rookie quarterback's supposed to be like him.
Right.
C.J. Stroud was an outlier.
He was.
Outlier.
He was.
It just doesn't work like that in the NFL. Good for him, but I'm not going to say Caleb Williams is going to be the same exact way. But yeah, fingernail. Like, all he's saying is, fellas, just, Andy, there's so many damn trash cans in the NFL locker room. They're everywhere. Everywhere. Right by your locker. You're walking right by there. When you cut your tape off your ankle, you cut it off right by the trash can. Just pick it up and put it in there.
Put it in there.
It's amazing how much wet-ass, nasty, sweat-ass tape will be all over the floor right there.
Yeah.
It's right there, dog.
It's like if you ate an everything bagel in a radio studio where a bunch of other people work.
Yes.
And you just left your crumbs everywhere.
Yes. Clean up behind yourself.
Just dust it up.
It's so easy, especially when your ass come back and see the crumbs. The next day. Don't damn clean it.
Or like if you were chewing some gum and then you wadded it up and just put it on a paper and left it there for a day.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like respect your workplace.
It's
you know what I mean? That's it.
Clean up behind your damn self. Grown ass damn man.
Respect your peers and your workspace. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk some Falcons. We got some more Falcons audio. Kirk Cousins, Raheem Morris. Hey, we even have Darnell Mooney. We got all kinds of stuff to get to next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Happy Hour Friday. Well done, Bo. We'll get to Sports Jeopardy and a little Olympic update coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll also get back into some of this Falcons audio in just a minute as well. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We got so into that Amani Toomer audio in the last segment. We forgot to, first of all, say congratulations to all the guys that are going in the Hall of Fame this weekend. But also, you played with and against a bunch of these guys. So, I'd love to get your thoughts on some of these.
Just
some
excited
these
about it, man. Because I remember Pep. We all pretty much came out the same year.
Yeah.
I remember Julius Peppers.
Julius Pepper. Can I name him?
Yeah.
Let me name him real quick.
Okay.
Dwight Freeney.
Yes.
Devin Hester.
Yes.
Andre Johnson. Julius Peppers. Patrick Willis. And then the senior entries are Randy Gratton. Radishar,
yes,
and Steve McMichael.
Yeah.
If you combine those, that's Randy McMichael.
Yeah, but the thing about Mongo is that they're going to take his bus to him because he has ALS. That's what he has.
Okay.
And he can't actually be there. And so they're going to take his bust and everything to him in Chicago. I think a lot of those 85 Bear guys that are still around are going to be there.
Cool.
So I think that's going to be really cool.
Great.
But yeah, playing against Dwight. And the first thing, my first game ever playing against Dwight, we were both rookies. And we were playing up in Indy. That's when they had the old turf. And we just had this call. It was a pack call. And if it was a pack call, that means I got to block the defensive end one-on-one. And then the tackle, he comes down and helps the guard. He comes back out. And so – Pack, and I'm looking up, and I was like, "Oh, okay, Dwight's pretty."
Well, that's Dwight. All right,
let me dig in here. Jay said, "Hut," and Dwight was past me. I didn't get my damn stance, so I had to turn around and like grab his ankle, trip him. No penalty.
Good.
So they figured that tendency out. So they come up, they walk the line back up. Pack. There's Dwight. Dwight comes off the ball. This time I got a good jump, Andy. I nuzzled him. I gave him the hug from the back because Andy, he put that damn spin move on me.
Freeney spin move.
Oh, he put the spin move on me, and I just grabbed him and hugged.
That's
him.
All you could do.
I just hugged.
They throw a flag.
Throw the flag.
Good. At least I didn't get my quarterback killed.
Yeah, dog. I nuzzled him. I sure did give him that man hug for like he put that man, spin move.
You didn't have a choice.
Oh, I had no choice.
Yeah,
none whatsoever, dog. But yeah, I always loved playing against him, and then obviously Pep, one of the biggest, just a freakish player.
Yeah,
big, athletic. Was you remember? Oh God, what was his name? You remember Waterboy,
the movie?
Yeah,
yeah.
And you remember when they were doing the onside kick, and he was like, "Yeah, there's my." And the dude that was shaking. Well, we had a guard. We had a guard play Chicago, and we had a guard, backup guard that was in.
This is when you were in
San Diego,
okay?
And so this means in Chicago, and like Pep was like, it was third down, so Pep was walking around looking for who the weak guy, and he just stood at a little rookie. You could see him like shaking.
Like his hands are
his
shaking
hands
in the
shaking.
Dirt.
And Pep just standing over him. And I'll never forget. And I was like, okay, I had protection, but my guy wasn't coming. I get out in the route. I was like, there's no way in hell I'm going to leave this boy here by himself with Pep. And so ball snap, Pep throws the kid in my damn lap.
Here you're nuzzling another dude.
Nuzzling another damn dude. Because Pep then threw the dude in my damn lap. And so, but yeah, another great player. Patrick Willis, best linebacker. Of his generation.
I'm probably the most underrated linebacker of that generation, too, which I don't know why, because those teams were great.
They were great.
Him and Navarro Bowman on those 49ers teams, they were great. Yeah. They won a lot of games. Yes. Like, they were awesome. I don't know. Maybe because he was kind of an understated personality or something
so
like
quiet.
That?
He's
is that
so,
what it is?
He was quiet.
Because he was incredible from
country,
the minute he came in the league till the minute he retired.
Exactly. But he started out with him and Spikes and then him and Bowman. But we played when it was him and Spikes, and both of them broke their hands in the same game, so they both had them black casts on their hand. One was on the right hand, one was on the left hand. But, yeah, just a dominant player. We all know Devin Hester, what he did in the Super Bowl, return man, scary, all the everything that you would think that he is. But, I mean, yeah, this is an all-around. Dre, like, just a unassuming, chilled, just whatever.
Superhero.
Like, the dude was so cool. But the one thing, like he embraced Houston, man. We used to always fly out to Houston for his charity events and bowling tournaments. Just a dude that is – the Miami Cat, no doubt, 100% through and through, but the way he embraced that city.
He's beloved
they
there.
They love that brother.
Beloved.
They love that brother.
As he should be.
They
as
love
he
that
should
brother
be.
Houston.
All right, let's do this real quick. Just a quick first thing that comes to mind with this player, and I'll give you mine too.
Okay.
First thing that comes to mind with Dwight Freeney.
Spin move.
Spin move.
Yes.
I just remember his when he was here.
Yes.
Like, he made such a huge impact on that Super Bowl run that the Falcons went on. It was awesome that he was on that team, and it was cool to be kind of around him and hear him, you know, the veteran that he was, talking to the media all the time. Devin Hester?
Scary.
Super Bowl touchdown.
Scary.
Yeah.
If you've never been, I've been out there with him.
Tried to tackle him?
I missed him. I missed him. The original time, but luckily he went the reverse field, so I made him cut back, even though I missed him.
Oh, he did great.
And then he reverse field, and I hit a beeline, and I got him at the two because everybody made him cut back, and I was just hustling and tripped him up at the two-yard line.
That's good.
They scored next
That's good. That's fine. Yeah. Whatever. That's not your fault. You're not on defense.
Yes.
Andre Johnson.
One of the original big, fast receivers.
Okay. I was just going to say Cortland Finnegan.
He beat the hell out of
Cortland. That's the main thing I remember. I mean, obviously, all the great stuff he did.
Yeah, he beat the hell out of
that should be a part of his highlight.
He beat the hell out of Cortland
tomorrow, like during the speech. He should at least reference it.
Yes, he beat the hell out of him.
Julius Peppers.
Freakish.
Yeah. Played basketball at UNC.
Freakish.
Played college basketball at North Carolina.
Yes, freakish.
And football.
Freakish.
Patrick Willis.
Fundamentally sound and arrive with bad intentions.
Yeah, Matt Hasselbeck's ribs. That's the first thing that I think of.
Yes.
And hearing them snap from 130 yards away. All right, let's hear from Kirk Cousins first. The question that's on the sheet is, how many Falcons players on offense could make a legitimate run at All-Pro this season? I think all of these guys have a shot.
Chris Lindstrom is the
Chris
most.
Lindstrom's Chris Lindstrom's the one that
Chris,
makes the
Chris
most
Chris
sense.
Lindstrom and Jesse Bates, because Jesse was one last year.
If you could pick a guy to make All-Pro from this list, the list is Bijan Robinson, Chris Lindstrom, Kyle Pitts, Kirk Cousins, Drake London, Jesse Bates. Which one making the NFL All-Pro team would be the most impactful on the Falcons?
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, right? Like, if Kirk Cousins is an All-Pro quarterback this year, the Falcons probably go to the Super Bowl. He's probably the MVP.
Yeah, if Kirk Cousins is an All-Pro this year, which he's never been.
He's never been an All-Pro.
Never been either one of the
he's
teams.
He's been a Pro Bowler.
He's been a Pro Bowler, but never an All-Pro. If he's an All-Pro, they're at least in a conference championship.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least. Yeah, at least in the conference
championship. And he had a regular season that was the best regular season of his life.
Yes.
Like that's – yes. And he was healthy, and all kinds of good things sort of come with that being the headline. Here's Kirk Cousins on Jesse Bates and his relationship with Jesse.
Yeah, he intercepted me yesterday, so he's probably taken more from those meetings than I am. But it was also a reminder that he may be a little different than your average safety. So, no, I think it was just in the spring, you know, hey, you know, could we watch film? And we need to do it more. You know, we need to find the time to keep doing it. But, you know, I kind of see him as the quarterback of the defense a little bit, and he's a problem. You know, it's tough when you drop back. It's Ed Reed. It's Troy Polamalu. It's you drop back, and you're like, I see where Jesse is, but I don't think he's going to end up there. And so it kind of puts something in the back of your mind. And it's hard to play fast. It's hard to play decisive. You know, safeties want to be in their position. They want to do their job. And I think at times when you can know things well enough to say, I'm going to leave my job but not hurt the team because I can go help somebody and go make a play, you better know what you're doing. And and he does.
That was the play I talked about Tuesday. He was talking about that when he undercut the dig route and everything, and he did. He was out. I mean, he really did a hell of a play. Film study, tendencies, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, he's a damn good player, and he is in the mold. I'm not saying he's them, but he's in the mold of what those two dudes that Kirk said. Because anytime you played them, Ed or Troy, you like, okay, I know where he's supposed to be, but he ain't where he's supposed to be.
No idea where he's going to be.
You don't know where he's going to be at, and he.
And I'm
going to
make this throw, and I hope he's not there.
And exactly, and they were two of the best ever. You know, at doing that.
Yeah, just being in the mold is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not very many people get compared to those dudes anyway, but just being in the mold is good. And look, man, we saw it last year, and there was some debate. I don't know why, one way or the other. The Falcons had the money to spend, and they got the best player available at the position as to whether or not they overpaid to get him. I think not. Like, he came in and earned every penny of it last year. He was the best player on the defense. Yeah. Great to have him back there. And hopefully some of the other guys on the defense can come along with him because he was head and shoulders above everybody else last season. Here's Raheem Morris talking about role clarity and breeding confidence.
Right, because we got some dudes on our team and I got a lot of belief in, right? Because you know what it is? This thing that we play is like ultimate role clarity. And you know what it is? If you give a guy a role and he owns it and he takes that thing and he runs with it, then people start to know him. They become household names. And that's what we want, right? I'm going to breathe this belief in my guys. I promise you. We're going to be all right.
That's like the really friendly Raheem Morris way of Bill Belichick's do your job.
Yes.
Role clarity, right? You got to know what you're supposed to do. Belichick's a little cold, mumbles do your job. Raheem says all that friendly stuff, and it breeds confidence, and it makes you a household name, and he's building you up. They had the mic'd up Raheem. I don't know if it was the first day of practice, maybe it was the first couple of days or whatever. The Falcons tweeted it out a couple of days ago. Go watch it if you haven't watched it. It's just fun. It's just fun to see him out there flying around. I did wonder because, like, he's out there saying what's up to guys, and guys are getting on the field and all that. Like, during a regular day, of training camp and everything you have going on, how much time do you even spend talking with or being around the head coach?
Not a lot.
Not much, right?
Yeah, not a lot. But, I mean, because you're mostly with your position coach, your position coach and your side of the ball, but very rarely does he address you. He addresses you probably in the morning meetings, address you afterwards, after practice, obviously. And
almost no one-on-one.
Most of the time, there's no one-on-one. But the last, you'll see him at night when you have a team night meeting. But other than that, no, it's not one of those things like that. But you do have coaches, and not all coaches do what he does. You know, Dave Wanstead was not a lot like that. He was more geared towards the veteran players and going over to talking to JT and everything like that. Nick, he just, you know, whatever. He might come by and say something to you. Linehan was a very personal guy like that, would come by and say things to you. Norv was like that. But, yeah, I mean, his energy, because I like what he said, because that's what he was on with the pivot. And it was kind of like what Channing was saying to him, basically about being a player's coach, but not no pushover. And Rob was summing it up to a point where you're like, yeah, it's all in fun, but it's a respect about it. Like, you can call me Ra and everything like that, Coach Ra, whatever like that, but ain't going to be no Ra like in a disrespectful way. Hey, yo, Ra.
Right.
Ain't going to be none of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm the damn head coach.
Yeah, that's an interesting line to have to walk, right?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you need to respect me. I'm your coach. This is a profession.
Right.
You're a professional. This is what it is. But, like, yeah, I mean, you run the risk of if you're overly – player friendly or overly like that, and just kind of like, because he has that vibe of like one of the guys, mm-hmm. right? And that was the criticism in Tampa, mm-hmm. right? Was like he was maybe a little bit too much like that,
right.
and guys took advantage of it. And there was a lot of stuff that went wrong in Tampa. That was a bad situation by the end of it. But like that was one of the things people talked about, was like they viewed him more as a peer mm-hmm. and not as a mm-hmm. as an authority figure.
Right.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, because that's his personality. You want to be like that. Mm-hmm. You're friendly and chop it up, all that. But at the end of the day, yeah, man, if I tell you this, you do it.
Exactly.
And if I don't think you're helping us, you're gone.
Right.
Like, it's that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. Yeah, no, it's tough. Here's Darnell Mooney talking about being in those meeting rooms with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's amazing. And he lets you be you as well. I mean, he's just like, I'm just going to trust you. Like, it was a ball yesterday that he was like, look, I didn't see you, I haven't seen you, and I'm going to continue to throw this ball. And we're like 19 for 20 on it. So I'm going to continue to gain his trust, and hopefully he can continue to be whatever. Like, throw that thing up to me when he doesn't see me.
Yeah.
That's from the morning shift well.
That's just trust. Like, a lot of times quarterbacks are throwing to a spot.
Right.
And they anticipate, just like the pick that Jesse had. Kurt just threw the ball
right
where Moody's supposed to be at.
Right.
And he just did cross Jesse's face. Great read by him. But, I mean, that's the trust that you're supposed to have. A lot of times I sit, and I do it more now that I'm watching, when I watch the games now, than when I was actually playing it, because you can see it more. But you're like, damn, you didn't see that guy? Then you think back to when you were out there. Oh, he expected me to be right here. Now, sometimes, of course, it's a badass throw.
Right.
But sometimes, like, you got to get your ass in there. You got to get in that hole, man, no matter what. You got to get blasted, because quarterback expects you to be there. Now,
the hard part about that and relationships and chemistry and all that is new quarterback, new receiver from a different team, first year any of these guys have ever played with each other, new coordinator. All. Now, Kirk Cousins has been in the offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he knows all of this stuff. But trying to get up to speed where, all right, you're supposed to be here. I know you're going to be there. I'm going to trust it. I don't see you yet, and have it work out.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have that ready by week one.
Yep.
Have that ready by week one against Pittsburgh.
Got to have that ready by Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's the hard part about everybody being new. But a lot of vets. Sounds like things are going good. We'll come back. We'll get to an Olympic update, a brief Olympic update, and then we'll get to some Sports Jeopardy as well here on a Happy Hour Friday. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Happy Hour Friday.
Never good.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. If you're having a drink now, send us a picture of it. If you're planning on having some later and you can take a picture of it and send it, send us a picture of it at TBM929 at RandyMac81. We'll give you a shout out on the radio. Simple as that.
Yeah, man.
Free of charge.
NFL, real quick, I just saw Kirk Cousins is number 10 as far as Madden rating at quarterback.
Top 10 quarterback.
Top 10 quarterback.
Top 10. Well, where was Ritter?
Ritter, they just had the top 10.
Oh, they didn't have that one?
Yeah, okay. Top 10. Yeah, but Justin Herbert, foot injury, out.
Saw that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, they're like hoping he's back for week one.
That plantar fasciitis, man. If you had it, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
It sucks. Hey, I've had my whole rookie year. It's not fun. But I just saw that he's going to be out for a while. DeAndre Hopkins is out too, which is crazy. But yeah, that was top 10. You think Kurt's mad about his rating?
I don't. I feel like of all the guys that would probably doesn't even know. Like, I bet Kirk's not a big Madden guy.
Right.
I would guess maybe he is. He's got kids, so maybe they play.
Right.
But no, I don't think so. I don't think he's gonna put that one on the bulletin board. No, I think he's gonna do that.
Man,
Easton? I'm looking at the backups in LA.
Okay,
Easton Stick.
Yep.
Max Duggan from TCU. Okay. So that's tough for them.
Yeah,
I saw the Panthers, Andy Dalton, hurt too. So they might have to go out and get another backup quarterback.
Well, I mean, Ritter's still out there.
No. Plays for an NFL football team.
Yeah.
It sounds like Ritter, though, just based on what you read from some of the folks that cover the Cardinals, he has a chance to not get the second job.
Really?
Yeah. They say Clayton Tune's pushing him.
Really?
You don't want to have happen in any part of your life.
No. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well.
I mean, yeah, well. Yeah. Not our problem.
Not ain't no problem here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
who was one of the guys that he's a radio host in Arizona, but at training camp said watching Ritter in camp is really making me bullish on the Falcons.
Yeah.
Basically, he was like, "Oh, this explains it."
Yeah.
Because they had a lot of talent. Well, oh, right.
This is like who was I talking? What's the guy's name that was on with the boys yesterday? James Palmer.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, James was talking about. I think it's Mike B that asked him about the. The national perspective of this team. And a lot of them say the same thing about the Falcons. You know, Kirk Cousins should be able to get them where they want to go based on the talent what they had around them, what they have around him. And so, yeah, I could see that.
Where does where they want to go mean? You know, that part of it. Like, what does that mean? Playoffs? Yeah, 100%.
Does that mean just get in the playoffs? Or do they mean being able to do something? Because Kirk's been to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they won the one game down New Orleans, and it was not a push-off bow. And then, you know, he threw the check down, you know, short.
Yeah, it's just a normal move.
He threw the check down a couple years ago.
Yeah, on
fourth down.
Yeah, that ended that one.
But, yeah, he did that. But his defense could stop Daniel Jones.
True. Jones went off on him that day.
Jones went off that game, that playoff
Daniel
game.
Daniel Jones made $100 million that day.
He went off that playoff game.
Yes, he did.
And so, I mean.
Yes, he did.
He's got to have that balance, I guess, of, you know, because. We said this probably when he first signed, Bunk. We were like, Kirk Cousins coming from weapons. Goddamn, right.
No, I know.
This ain't nothing new for him to have down what he got here.
And now he's got the one. No, I mean, he had
Justin Jefferson. And Hawkinson and them boys.
Yeah, they had some pretty good running backs up there the last couple years.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook, 1,000
yards every year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, he played with good players.
Yep.
So this ain't new. It's just the fact is that you got to do other stuff too. You got to help. He's not going to carry you anywhere.
Yeah.
Make you a better player because he's a good quarterback. But he's not going to will you to no damn Super Bowl. You need stuff to go right around.
Right. And that's why, look, they would never say this. And they don't even feel this way. Like they would never say, yeah, playoffs, that's what we're trying to do, just get in the playoffs. No, they're trying to win a championship. Everyone is. But like, it definitely also feels like a safe play if I'm the organization where it's like, we can't miss the playoffs again.
Right.
We haven't made the playoffs since 2017.
Yeah, man.
We can't do that. You can't go 7 straight years without making the playoffs. Bad teams look into the playoffs once in a while.
Well, you can't fall into
You can't go to the playoffs once in 7. Okay. So, yeah, this roster feels like it does that. If he plays great, it can do better. If guys on defense take a leap, it can do better. Like if Bijan's, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of unknowns that could lead to them being better than just making the playoffs.
Right.
But it very much, like from an offseason perspective, is like at the very least, we got to make some moves to where we do not continue this streak of missing the playoffs. Right. It's just unacceptable to miss the playoffs 7 consecutive years.
Yeah,
all right. Do we want to – you got a couple Olympic
We already talked about Simone Biles and Sunny Lee.
Congratulations.
Sunny Lee, last jump, I think they said she did like a 13.
Yeah, she had to have a great floor routine.
She had 13.6
in order to get
like
on the podium, and she did it.
She's up there. We already talked about the men's team getting smoked by damn Morocco.
Yeah, the soccer team's out.
Track and field was this morning. Watched a lot of the heats and everything. Obviously, Shakiri was outstanding. But it was just the heats. The semifinal, I think maybe tomorrow. Swimming continues today, and some more finals. And I think that's it. Next team plays tomorrow against Puerto Rico.
Yep.
I think that somebody's not going to play. I don't know who it is.
Oh, that's a good question. Tatum didn't play game
so
one. Everyone freaked out.
I don't know who everybody's going to be mad
Embiid
about.
Embiid didn't play, and Halliburton didn't play.
Either. So I don't know who's going. I don't know who's going to play tomorrow.
Who's a big name guy that doesn't play?
I don't know. And get more people enraged about another grown ass man.
Who would infuriate
playing?
People the most if he sat him? LeBron would have to.
Yeah. Or no, Jason Tatum don't play again tomorrow.
Oh, no, that would that would be kind of funny.
I'm going to love it.
That would be kind of funny.
All right, he's embarrassed. Has he said anything to your ass?
You got a source on that one?
Huh?
Or are you just making it up?
Huh? I'm not saying that he's not upset, but has he said anything?
No.
Is he complaining?
No, he's
is
handled
he
it like a
then what the hell? What
like
the
a
hell
true
is,
patriot.
What the hell is you? No, don't go there. What is hell?
Because it's not a professional because it's the Olympics.
Yeah, well, what the hell is he
patriotism
doing?
That they're playing for?
What the hell is he doing? It's like, oh, it's mad at Steve Kerr.
Yeah. If he doesn't, what if he doesn't play Steph? Would that be the funniest thing?
Yes, that would be great.
But then that would also just be like, he would just tell him, and then just to cover his ass, be like, all right, Steph, I'm not going to play you so people don't get mad that I'm not going to play somebody every game. I don't know. Not sure what it is. But whatever it is, I can guarantee you this. People will pretend to be mad about it.
Yes.
100% guarantee on that one. Yeah. Let's get to Sports Jeopardy here on a Happy Hour Friday.
You know, have you seen the 3-on-3? Because I'm actually sitting and watching a little bit more 3-on-3.
It is hectic.
It is very hectic.
Yeah. The 3-on-3 in the Olympics is unlike any basketball. Like, it's like, and then we're sitting here watching it like, do they have the same rules we had? Like, what if you airball? You don't have to take it back. Why doesn't it make it take it?
It's
like,
very crazy.
Yeah, no, it is. It's fast. Andy.
Randy.
All right, fellas, we got 5 minutes for some action-packed Olympic trivia.
5 minutes, all I need. Oh, it's all Olympics?
It's all Olympics.
I don't know.
There's some doozies on here, too. I can't wait till we get to number 8.
Who wrote these?
This is fun.
Who wrote these?
This is Abe helping me out. So.
Do you have anything on the text line as far as questions? I don't give a damn about no damn Olympic questions, man, from Abe.
Oh, man.
Some of these are good questions, though.
Okay.
You never know when you're down at the local bar and you need to win trivia night with you and your buddies.
Yep, that's true.
That probably isn't the story for either.
That would be Abe. That would be what Abe does.
What's the city that has hosted both the Summer Olympics and the Winter Olympics?
Randy.
Randy Michael.
Japan.
No.
That's incorrect.
I don't know. London?
Also incorrect. I was about to say that's close because they're both in Asia, but then that would have been a pretty big hint.
China.
The answer is Beijing. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. China Beijing would be Olympics. The country. Ain't that where they built that big ass nest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's what. Like, I don't know. I feel like the opening ceremonies when China had it were very representative of the culture of China, which is what it's supposed to be. People were so mad at the opening ceremonies of this Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, what do you think the French people were going to do? Not be
it's
French?
France.
Yeah.
France.
They're going to do some freaky stuff.
I'm pretty sure that's where, like, modeling and runways and weird stuff
was invented. Yeah.
People were living.
They're so mad.
You know me, dogs. You know how I am. I'm like, I thought it was pretty cool.
I thought it was really cool.
I thought it was cool. But I didn't see
headless that. Maria Antoinette. Come on. Like
Gojira on a castle.
I was like,
a heavy metal band in the Olympic opening ceremony on a castle.
I was like, huh? Man.
Why would France feel the need to adhere to your weird, like, conservative middle America standard for their opening Olympics?
Yeah.
Of course they're going to do some weird, freaky French stuff.
France.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. When you have the Olympics in Youngstown, Ohio,
Boise, Idaho,
then you can have like a Walmart float or something. You know what I mean? These guys are going to have menage a trois on TV.
Dude.
That's what they do.
Like, wow.
Which city that has hosted Olympic Games more than 2 times went the longest time between 2 times hosting?
Randy.
Oh, my God.
Randy Michael.
Athens, Greece.
That is correct.
Yeah, because they had it in, like,
the first one.
Like when Zeus was in it and all that stuff.
So that's coming up. But the longest time in between the two of Athens Olympics was 1896 and 2004. So that's like, what is that?
It's a long time. It's like 100 years over.
A little over 100. 108 by my math. Which 1992 and 96 Olympian did Simone Biles pass for most decorated
Randy.
U.S. Randy Michael?
Was it Dominic Dawes?
That is incorrect. Great guess, though.
Shannon Miller?
That is correct.
I was big on that 96 team.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
It was a young man coming into my own.
There we go.
1-1.
There we go.
Dominic Muciano. She was my favorite.
Dawes. Was that Dominic Dawes?
Dawes also big fan of I was a big fan of hers.
Kevin Durant is now 9th all-time for most points scored in an Olympic career.
Really?
Name one of the 8 players Randy. Ahead of him. Randy Michael.
Carmelo.
That's incorrect.
Wow.
Wow.
9th all-time in Olympic scoring?
Olympic scoring. Doesn't necessarily
the
have
whole
to be
Olympics?
US.
Oh, the whole Olympics? Oh, I'm thinking of U.S.
Like
Olympic
every
career.
Oh, I'm thinking every of the U.S. Olympian
okay.
ever.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. Manu Ginobili.
That is correct.
I'm thinking the U.S. team.
Yeah.
And I thought he was number 1 for the U.S.
He's got to be number 1 for the U.S. because he played in 4 Olympics.
Of the 8 players ahead of Kevin Durant in points scored in Olympic career, who is the only one also ahead of LeBron James for most career Olympic assists?
Wow. Andy.
Andy Bunker.
Tony Parker.
That's incorrect.
Randy.
Randy Michael.
Hold on. You said he's ahead of...
So, of the 8 players...
Right.
Okay. That are ahead of KD.
Ahead of KD
in scoring.
Okay.
Which of those players is ahead of LeBron in assists?
Oh, okay. I got you. It's good. Oh, the guy from France. I mean, not France, but the guy from Spain.
Oh. I think I know who you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think he played for the Hawks a couple years ago.
Oh, He got to be a Sergio. Sergio Spain. What? Who is he?
Jose Calderon?
That was also Manu Ginobili, actually.
Was it? Also Manu Ginobili?
Well, you guessed Manu Ginobili, so he was the answer.
Right. So I could have had any. Got it. Okay. Wow. Yeah, Manu was good, man. Good
player.
Not scared of bats.
How many laps or lengths in the 1,500-meter swim that Katie Ledecky won by multiple seconds? How many laps in the...
30. Randy. 30.
That's actually correct.
No, yeah, I know. We're counting.
Yeah, we're I'm like, it's 1,500, 50. Yeah.
Oh, how many laps was it total in that race? Yeah, man.
He got it.
All right, we're tied up 2-2. What is the order of events during the Olympic triathlon?
This dude, Randy.
I don't know. Come on.
Order?
The order is swimming, biking, running.
That is correct.
Damn.
We watched the other day.
Oh, yeah. We did.
Here's a fun one for you. Which you might just know, because if you know anything about the Olympics, you know. Within 100 years.
Within 100 years. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here. Happy Hour Friday.
Never good time.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. If you're having a drink now, send us a picture of it. If you're planning on having some later and you can take a picture of it and send it, send us a picture of it at TBM929 at RandyMac81. We'll give you a shout-out on the radio. Simple as that.
Yeah, man. We
free of charge.
NFL, real quick, I just saw Kirk Cousins is number 10 as far as Madden rating at quarterback.
Top 10 quarterback.
Top 10 quarterback.
Top 10. Where was Ritter?
Ritter, they just had the top 10.
Oh, they didn't have that one?
Yeah, okay. Top 10. Yeah, but Justin Herbert, foot injury, out.
Saw that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, they're hoping he's back for week one.
That plantar fasciitis, man, if you had it, you know what it's like. And yeah. It sucks. Hey, I've had my whole rookie year. It's not fun. But I just saw that he's going to be out for a while. DeAndre Hopkins is out too, which is crazy. But yeah, that one, top 10. You think Kurt's mad about his rating?
I don't. I feel like of all the guys that would probably doesn't even know. Like I bet Kirk's not a big Madden guy.
Right.
I would guess maybe he is. He's got kids, so maybe they play.
Right.
But no, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to put that one on the bulletin board. No, I think he's going to do that.
I'm mad.
Easton? I'm looking at the backups in LA.
Okay.
Easton Stick.
Yep.
Max Duggan from TCU. Okay. So that's tough for them.
Yeah,
I saw the Panthers, Andy Dalton, hurt too. So they might have to go out and get another backup quarterback.
Well, I mean, Ritter's still out there.
No. Plays for an NFL football team.
Yeah.
It sounds like Ritter, though, just based on what you read from some of the folks that cover the Cardinals, he has a chance to not get the second job.
Really?
Yeah. They say Clayton Tune's pushing him.
Really?
You don't want to have happen in any part of your life.
No. Wow.
Yeah.
Not
our problem.
Ain't no problem here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
who was one of the guys that he's a radio host in Arizona, but at training camp said watching Ritter in camp is really making me bullish on the Falcons.
Yeah.
Basically, he was like, "Oh, this explains it."
Yeah,
because they had a lot of talent. I see.
This is like who was I talking? Who was? Oh yeah. What's the guy's name that was on with the boys yesterday? James Palmer.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, James was talking about. I think it was Mike B that asked him about the national perspective of this team. And a lot of them say the same thing about the Falcons. You know, Kirk Cousins should be able to get them where they want to go based on the talent what they have around him. And so, yeah, I could see that.
Where does where they want to go mean? You know, that part of it. Like, what does that mean? Playoffs? Yeah, 100%.
Does that mean just get in the playoffs? Or do they mean being able to do something? Because Kirk's been to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they won the one game down in New Orleans, and it was not a push-off bow. And then, you know, he threw the check down, you know, short.
Yeah, it's just a normal move.
He threw the check down a couple years ago.
Yeah, on fourth.
On fourth down.
Yeah, that ended that one.
But, yeah, he did that. But his defense could have stopped Daniel Jones.
True. Daniel Jones went off on him that day.
Went off that game, that playoff
game. Daniel Jones made $100 million that day.
He went off that playoff game.
Yes, he did.
And so, I mean.
Yes, he did.
He's got to have that balance, I guess, of, you know, because. We said this, probably when he first signed, Bunk. We were like, Kirk Cousins coming from weapons. God damn,
I know.
This ain't nothing new for him to have down what he got here.
And now he's got, well, no, I mean, he had,
he had, you know, Justin Jefferson and Hockenson and them boys.
Yeah, they had some pretty good running backs up there the last
Dalvin
couple of years.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook,
1,000 yards every year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, he played with good players.
Yep.
So this ain't new. It's just the fact is that you got to do other stuff, too. You got to help. He's not going to carry you anywhere. Yeah. Make you a better player because he's a good quarterback. But he's not going to will you to no damn Super Bowl. You need stuff to go right around.
Right, and that's why, look, they would never say this, and they don't even feel this way. Like, they would never say, yeah, playoffs, is that's what we're trying to do, just get in the playoffs. No, they're trying to win a championship. Everyone is. But, like, it definitely also feels like a safe play if I'm the organization where it's like, we can't miss the playoffs again. We can't do. We haven't made the playoffs since 2017.
Yeah, man.
We can't do that. You can't go seven straight years without making the playoffs. Bad teams luck into the playoffs once in a while.
Well, you can't fall into
it. You can't go to the playoffs once in seven. Okay. So, yeah, this roster feels like it does that. If he plays great, it can do better. If guys on defense take a leap, it can do better. Like, if Bijan's, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of unknowns that could lead to them being better than just making the playoffs.
Right.
But it very much, like, from an offseason perspective, is like, at the very least, we got to make some moves to where we do not continue this streak of missing the playoffs. Right. This is unacceptable to miss the playoffs seven consecutive years.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Do we want to, you got a couple Olympic
We already
mentions?
Talked about Simone Biles and Sunny Lee.
Congratulations.
Sunny Lee, last jump, I think they said she did like a 13.
Yeah, she had to have a great floor routine.
She had 13.6
in order to get
like
on the podium. And
so
she did
she's up there. We already talked about the men's team getting smoked by damn Morocco.
Yeah, the soccer team's out.
Track and field was this morning. Watched a lot of the heats and everything. Obviously, Shakiri was outstanding. But it was just the heats, the semifinal, I think maybe tomorrow. Swimming continues today, and some more finals, and I think that's it.
Mexico
plays tomorrow against Puerto Rico.
Yep.
I think that somebody's not going to play. I don't know who it is.
Oh, that's a good question.
Still,
so Tatum didn't play game one. Everyone freaked out.
I don't know who everybody's going to be mad
about. Embiid didn't play, and Halliburton didn't play.
So I don't know who's gonna, who's not going to play tomorrow.
Who's a big-name guy that doesn't play?
I don't know. I can get more people enraged about another grown-ass man.
Who would infuriate people the most if he sat him? LeBron. It would have to.
Yeah. Or no, Jason Tatum don't play again tomorrow.
Oh, no, that would, would be kind of funny.
I'm going to love it.
That would be kind of funny.
All right, he's embarrassed. Has he said anything to yo ass?
You got a source on that one?
Huh?
Or are you just making it up?
Huh? I'm not saying that he's not upset, but has he said anything?
No.
Is he complaining?
No, he's
is
handled
he
it like a
then what the hell what
like
the
a
hell
true
is,
patriot.
What the hell is you? No, don't go there. What is hell?
Because
well,
it's not a professional because it's the Olympics.
Yeah,
so
what the hell is he
patriotism
doing?
That
what
they're
the
playing
hell
for?
Do it's like, oh, this mad at Steve Kerr.
Yeah. If he doesn't, what if he doesn't play Steph? Would that be the funniest thing?
Yes, that would be great.
But then that would also just be like, he would just tell him, and then just to cover his ass, be like, all right, Steph, I'm not going to play you so people don't get mad that I'm not going to play somebody every game. I don't know. Not sure what it is. But whatever it is, I can guarantee you this. People will pretend to be mad about it.
Yes.
100% guarantee on that one. Yeah. Let's get to Sports Jeopardy here on a Happy Hour Friday.
Have you seen the 3-on-3? Because I'm actually sitting and watching
a little bit
more 3-on-3.
It is hectic.
It is very hectic.
Yeah. The 3-on-3 in the Olympics is unlike any basketball. Like, and then we're sitting here watching it like, do they have the same rules we had? Like, what if you airball? You don't have to take it back.
It's
why doesn't it make it take it?
It's like, very crazy.
Yeah, no, it is. It's fast. Andy.
Randy.
All right, fellas, we got 5 minutes. For some action-packed Olympic trivia.
5 minutes all I need. Oh, it's all Olympics?
It's all Olympics.
I don't know.
There's some doozies on here, too. I can't wait till we get to number 8.
Who wrote these?
This is fun.
Who wrote these?
This is Abe helping
me
out.
Hey, man, do you have anything on the text line as far as questions? I don't give a damn about no damn Olympic questions, man, from Abe.
Oh, man.
Some of these are good questions, though.
Okay.
You never know when you're down at the local bar and you need to win trivia night with you and your buddies.
Yep, that's true.
That probably isn't the story for either.
That would be Abe. That would be what Abe does.
What's the city that has hosted both the Summer Olympics and the Winter Olympics?
Randy.
Randy and Michael.
Japan.
No.
That's incorrect.
I don't know, London?
Also incorrect. I was about to say that's close because they're both in Asia, but then that would have been a pretty big hint.
China.
The answer is Beijing. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
China would be the Olympics. Country.
Ain't that where they built that big ass nest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's what. Like, I don't know. I feel like the opening ceremonies when China had it were very representative of the culture of China, which is what it's supposed to be. People were so mad at the opening ceremonies of this Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, what do you think the French people were going to do, not be
it's
French?
France.
Yeah.
It's French.
They're going to do some freaky
they're
stuff.
Do
I'm
some
sure
nasty
that's where, like, modeling and runways and weird stuff
yeah,
invented.
Yeah.
People were living.
They're so mad.
You know me, dogs. You know how I am. I'm like, I thought it was pretty cool.
I thought it was really cool.
I thought it was cool. But I didn't see
Headless that. Maria Antoinette. Come on. Like
Gojira on a castle.
I was
a heavy metal band in the Olympic opening ceremony on a castle.
I was like, huh? Man.
Why would France feel the need to adhere to your weird, like, conservative middle America standard for their opening Olympics?
Yeah.
Of course they're going to do some weird, freaky French stuff.
France.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
All right. When you have the Olympics in Youngstown, Ohio,
Boise, Idaho,
then you can have like a Walmart float or something. You know what I mean? These guys are going to have menage a trois on TV.
Dude.
That's what they do.
Like, wow.
Which city that has hosted Olympic Games more than two times went the longest time between two times hosting?
Randy.
Oh, my God.
Randy Michael.
Athens, Greece.
That is correct.
Yeah, because they had it in like
the first one.
Like when Zeus was in it and all that stuff.
So that's coming up. But the longest time in between the two of Athens Olympics was 1896 and 2004. So that's like, what is that?
It's a long time. It's like 100 years over.
A little over 100. 108 by my math. Which 1992 and 96 Olympian did Simone Biles pass for most decorated
Randy.
U.S. Randy Michael?
Was it Dominic Dawes?
That is incorrect. Great guess, though.
Shannon Miller?
That is correct.
I was big on that 96 team.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
The young man coming into my own.
There we go.
1-1.
There we go.
Dominic Muciano. She was my favorite.
Dawes? Was that Dominic Dawes?
Dawes also big fan of I was a big fan of hers.
Kevin Durant is now ninth all-time for most points scored in an Olympic career.
Really?
Name one of the eight players ahead of him. Randy Michael.
Carmelo.
That's incorrect.
Wow.
Wow.
Ninth all-time in Olympic scoring?
Olympic scoring.
The whole Olympics?
Oh, the whole. Oh, I'm thinking of the U.S.
Like
every career.
Oh, I'm thinking of
every Olympian ever.
Oh.
I don't know. Manu Ginobili.
That is correct.
I'm thinking the U.S. team.
Yeah.
And I thought he was number one for the U.S.
He's got to be number one for the U.S. because he played in four Olympics.
Of the eight players ahead of Kevin Durant in points scored in Olympic career, who is the only one also ahead of LeBron James for most career Olympic assists?
Wow. Andy.
Andy Bunker.
Tony Parker.
That's correct.
Randy.
Randy Michael.
Hold on. You said he's ahead
of... So, of the eight players...
Right. Okay. That are ahead of KD.
Ahead of KD
in scoring.
Okay.
Which of those players is ahead of LeBron in assists?
Oh, okay. I got you. The guy from France. I mean, not France, but the guy from Spain.
Oh. I think I know who you're talking
about. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think he played for the Hawks a couple years ago.
Oh. He got to be a Sergio. Sergio Spain. What... Who is he?
Jose Calderon?
That was also Manu Ginobili, actually.
Was it?
Also Manu Ginobili?
Well, you guessed Manu Ginobili, so he was the answer.
Right. So I could have had any. Got it. Okay. Wow. Yeah, Manu was good, man. Good player. Not scared of bats.
How many laps or lengths in the 1,500-meter swim that Katie Ledecky won by multiple seconds? How many laps in the...
30. Randy. 30.
That's actually correct.
No, yeah, I know. We're counting.
It's 15, 50, 50.
Oh, how many laps was it total in that race? Yeah, man.
He got it.
All right, we're tied up 2-2. What is the order of events during the Olympic triathlon?
This dude, Randy.
I don't know. Come on. Order?
The order is swimming, biking, running.
That is correct.
Damn.
We watched the other day.
Oh, yeah. We did.
Here's a fun one for you. Which you might just know, because if you know anything about the Olympics, you know. Within 100 years.
Within 100 years. Come on, man.
When were the first ancient Olympic Games held?
When?
Yes. Within 100 years.
Within 100 years?
And we read Hercules was the story we read last night before bedtime.
So you competed in those.
Hercules! Within 100 years.
He did
years.
It all. But unfortunately, the book was in French for some reason.
Oh.
I don't know what's going on at our house.
Within 100 years.
Andy.
Within 100 years.
I would guess it was about 220 AD.
That is incorrect, but you know, decent guess.
Is it?
I was going to go AD somewhere too. Let's go.
Is it AD or is it BC?
Let's go with 400 BC.
Oh, that's an even better guess, but incorrect. So it was 776 BC.
Damn.
Yeah.
We had a question on Sports Jeopardy in 2024 about something that happened 750 years before Jesus was born. Awesome.
Abe.
Way to go, Abe.
And we're out of time here, so Randy's up 3-2, and he's going to have to
friggin' Abe.
Cool. That's a good one.
Goodness gracious. Damn! He's the reason I can't wait for these damn Olympics to be over. Because you know next Friday what it's going to be? This same stuff.
More Olympic stuff.
Oh, there's still some on the sheet.
Before, like, within 100 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Within 100 years.
And we both got it wrong. Like, within 100 years on a trivia question.
Really,
Abe? Because almost every question we have is within the same 100 years, like the last 100 years. Damn, that's so long ago. How do they even know? Is that real?
What events do they have? Chariot
races? Yeah, so chariot races, probably.
They
like,
had the discus and the shot put and all those old
And they would
events.
Run, probably.
You said they had discus and shot put?
Yeah. Javelin. Yeah,
those were some of the first Olympic Games. Yeah.
Wrestling, for sure. Greco-Roman wrestling, I'm sure they would do that. Hmm. Definitely didn't have breakdancing.
No, they didn't
definitely
have
didn't have air pistol shooting.
They didn't have 3-on-3 basketball.
No, they didn't have that. Be funny as hell if they did, though. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.